Let's turn our attention to sport now and the benefits of taking up a sport if you've never tried it before, or even taking a sport up after you've lost your sight. There are the physical benefits, there's the mental health benefits, building your social circle, a whole load in fact. And we have with us Jim Gales from Scottish Disability Golf and Curling. Jim, how did you get into golf? Did you play years ago? Was it quite a new thing after you lost your sight?
It was absolutely brand new to me. I was getting a guide dog, and I met a guy up there at Forfa who was an established player. I'd never had golf on my radar at all. Didn't come from a particularly sporting family. Never crossed my path at all. And he said, well, you know, just give it a try. We'll sort out half a set of clubs. Got a few lessons with a local professional. So I thought, well, okay, I'll try it out. I wasn't overly enthusiastic, I have to be honest, after a little bit of trial and error, because I didn't even, to be honest, didn't know one end of the club from the other. And in fact, there's a few times recently when I've often thought I'm still not quite sure which end of the club I've got. But that's the trials and tribulations of golf. It's one of these things that you can be absolutely on the ball, no pun intended, and then the next time you can go out and you think you've got it cracked and it can come back and bite you. But I stuck with it and the bug bit. And I think the most difficult element at the beginning was to get guides. So it was a wee while to get in touch with local golf clubs to go along, you know, and meet some of them and tell them what I was after and what they could commit, because obviously they've got their own golf, their own families and such like. In an ideal situation, it's nice to have two or three people to do competitions, practice, things like that. And it takes a little bit of time and a little bit of effort and certainly a lot of practice. And once you can get into that routine, the benefits are phenomenal. Since I've taken up the game, I've had opportunities to travel around the world. You know, it's been phenomenal. I've been to 14 or 15 different countries playing in competitions and such like. And the meeting of the other golfers, you know, meeting, expanding your social circle, as you mentioned earlier. There's wonderful opportunities out there to take.
The game itself, you know, there's no difference, you know, with the R&A rules, is there, when it comes to playing golf, apart from a very small difference, I think, when it comes to playing bunkers. It's pretty much exactly the same rules.
Yes, indeed. I mean, you can ground your club in a hazard or a bunker. You can touch the sand without penalty, whereas a sighted player would... you know, they've got to hover the club. But obviously, anybody who's playing a vision impaired doesn't have that depth perception. So you can ground your club, get your guide to put the club behind the ball, and play your shot from there. And the guide's job is, if you like, to go out on the golf course and to paint a picture. If they're an established guide for myself, for example, they'll know how far I hit my driver or my pitching wedge and things like that. And they'll say, well, we'll stand on this particular tee. I've never played that course before. Okay, we've got a par four here. This is so many yards long. I don't think you should use your driver here. I think you should maybe drop back to a lesser club because there's some bunkers out there and there's some water away to the left. And my particular golf balls that I use are very attracted to water and sand. So if there's anything there, you can be sure I'll find them. And, you know, things like that. So it's a partnership, working on the game, working out how a round can be managed, managing the course, things like that. So it's a good game.
You're behind Scottish Disability Golf and Curling, and you give opportunities like this to people, and you've done all sorts really to fundraise and make it as affordable as possible. I suppose when you think about golf, you think of the expense, don't you?
As SDGC, what we do is fundraise to subsidise the members' entry fees. The vast majority of our multi-day competitions, for example, are free of charge. Specifically for blind and vision impaired players, obviously they've got their own expense to get to competitions or to hubs and practice sessions that we organise. But obviously that'll double because then there's the guide as well. So that, you know, especially for the blind and vision impaired, that's a huge benefit. And that's one of the jobs that I've taken on, to get them out there and get them along to a practice range for a start, meet the new guy or lady, and get out there and form that partnership.
I suppose, Jim, the time you've been with SDGC and prior to that as well, you've seen people come along who've never played the game before, they're perhaps completely blind. You know, does it make a big change to some of them? Can you sort of say to them, oh yeah, there was so-and-so came along and they're doing this now in a short space of time, or you know, it's made this improvement to someone's life as well?
We have a guy who's recently joined us within the last 4 months, I believe. And he was a four handicap golfer when he was fully sighted. He had picked up some disease from a tick bite, I believe, and lost his sight within a matter of weeks. That itself was obviously very traumatic and made a massive change to his life. He's only now coming back to the game. The basics are still there. He knows how to swing the club. Obviously, we've matched him with a sighted guide, and that person's, one, gaining confidence themselves on how to guide and how to set up a blind golfer, but the confidence is coming back for the blind golfer as well. You know, obviously he's not going to be able to play for some time to a four handicap again. He might never get back to that, but we can work on a handicap, we can work on getting them established as a pairing and getting out there on the golf course. And yeah, everybody wants to go out there and compete and play well, but the vast majority of our involvement in golf is the social side of things. You know, everybody wants to play well at a competition, but you're never going to do it all the time. So you've got to go out there and just have a bit of fun, enjoy the game. And hopefully this new guy can come along in the not too distant and get back to actually playing regular golf and enjoying it.
What sort of tournaments have you got coming up? What's the next big thing on the horizon, Jim?
We're finishing off the year at quite a prestigious couple of venues, actually. We're going to have a hub, which is a practice session, get some tuition for the members, etc. And that's going to be at Loch Lomond, the west coast of Scotland. Very nice, very private club. And then 2 days after that, we're going to be playing a round of golf at the Carrick on Loch Lomond Golf Course. So that's a bit of a sort of a feather in our cap to finish off the year, and we're hoping to get lots of people to come around from around the UK and play at that competition. It should be good. All we need is a little bit of decent weather.
The vital part. Now there are, as we said, you know, there are clubs around the UK who are there to help blind and partially sighted people take up the game or get back into the game again. But if there are people in Scotland, Jim, who would like to find out more about Scottish disability golf and curling, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, the easiest place to get in touch with us is obviously through our website. Everything's on there, from the WhatsApp, the contacts, the email and such like. And we've got audio described video on there and all the usual things to help get people introduced to the game. And if everybody goes to their favourite search engine and just does a search for SDGC or Scottish Disability Golf and Curling, we'll be either first or second on that list. And drop us an email and we'll get in touch with you, send you all the information you could possibly need and how to get involved and give it a try.
And don't forget to have a search in your local area as well for golf for the blind. And no doubt you could be on the greens in no time at all. Jim, thank you very much for chatting about golf, and thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Great stuff. Thanks very much, Al.